Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Tonight's hosts are me, Patty,
Joe,
and Janelle,
Danielle.
We all attend Laytonville High School. Tonight, our topic is gay youth. It is 2006, and gay marriage is being discussed daily in our news and implemented in parts of our nation. Some laws have been passed to protect the rights and liberties of people who are not heterosexual. Strong opposition to this liberalization of attitudes has also arisen. Politicians know that their support of same-sex marriage and or abortion could be a primary factor in their elections. How does this affect the youth? Is there less homophobia in the high schools than 5, 10, or 20 years ago? Do high school males still call each other fag as the ultimate put-down? Are students who feel homoerotic urges comfortable about talking to others about it? Is it dangerous to come out in high school in Mendocino County? What kinds of information are presented by the teachers and administrators regarding sexual behavior? Does sexual education exist at our high schools? And if it did, would homosexual perspectives be included? Are school attitudes towards lesbian, gays, bisexuals, and transgenders evolving at the same rate as our culture in general? Are these subjects that should only be discussed in the home to protect the parents' belief systems? We recognize that even raising these questions can create strong emotions. We ask that you listen with respect to us, even if we present views you disagree with. After we discuss these issues, we will open the phone lines. We're very interested in your opinions and hope you'll be respectful to others who may call in. We're here at the Willett Studio, and our phone number will be 456-9991. We will encourage everyone to join in the discussion in about 20 minutes. So we'll begin by talking about attitudes towards sexual orientation that we see in high school. Janelle, do you think homophobia exists at our high school and in our community?
Well, to a certain extent, homophobia exists everywhere. And I believe that it does exist in our community and in our school. I think the main way the homophobia or homosexuality is dealt with in our community is by not talking about it. And this can sometimes have, you know, positive short-term effects of not having to bring up the issue, but I think that the long-term effects are more negative than they are positive.
I agree. I think the, like, especially in Laytonville High School, the only homophobia that I see is really, like, with people calling each other fags or you're gay or, you know, using homosexual affiliations and names to basically shut it down.
Jove, have you had any experiences just being a male, not necessarily being gay or anything like that? Just have you noticed within the male student population that using the word fag is considered a letdown or, you know?
I think that a lot of times when people are homophobic, they, you know, they're either insecure, you know, they're not really, I don't know, they're not really comfortable around, you know, gay people or so forth. And so they either try to, you know, just not talk about it, or they try to rise above it and, you know, try to act better than it and, you know, try to put down people by, you know, seeming like they're the better person because they're against it. And, you know, they just try to, you know, almost put it into a negative aspect to make themselves look better than it.
Danielle, have you ever noticed any students in Mendocino County being, you know, bullied or intimidated or, you know, being threatened of violence because of their sexual preference?
Not in Mendocino County, no. I have noticed that there's a small percentage of people in our specific community who are openly gay or lesbian. But maybe that's just because there's a small amount of people in this area. I don't know.
Well, I think that we have to also address the fact that there's different attitudes towards males and females who are attracted to the same sex. Like, I noticed in my high school, there's a completely different attitude if two guys are attracted to each other compared to two females being attracted to each other. And there's a different attitude if, like, say I was to be, say, oh, you're a dyke or something. I wouldn't be offended, I don't think, the same way a male would, because it doesn't affect me the same way it does. I think girls in high school are a lot more secure with their sexuality, and it's also more accepted. I hear a lot of, you know, all the guys come into class and they always talk about, you know, seeing two, like, how it, they're attracted to two females being attracted to each other, you know, but you don't hear the same thing about gay men. So, I think that's a really important issue to be able to distinguish between those two.
Patty, do you think that means that, females aren't attracted to, or males aren't attracted to two guys as opposed to two girls?
No, I don't. I think there is a lot of people who are attracted to the same sex. I mean, obviously. So, I think that what causes the homophobia in our schools and everything is that I think people are afraid of not people actually being attracted just conversationally to the same sex, but really it's they're afraid of the sex and how people actually have sex. That's, I think, what causes the fear in our schools.
I've actually noticed that too. You know, just the difference in between women being attracted to each other and men. Also, one of the interesting research studies that some, you know, some people have done throughout the years is there are some scientists and other people who actually believe that sexual orientation is determined either before birth or very early in life, and that no one can alter a person's sexual orientation. There are people who, you know, some anti-gay, or there are some, you know, Christian organizations that believe the opposite. Was reading on a website some time ago about one organization that actually believed that, you know, being gay didn't exist, that there was no such thing as homosexuality. And I just found those two different perspectives to be kind of interesting. What do you guys think about that?
You know, I think that, I don't know, like, it differs for each person. Like, you know, I think some gay people may feel like, you know, oh, I was born this way, you know, I was, you know, destined to be like this or whatever. And then there's other people who, you know, were straight their entire life, and then halfway through they just decide, you know, they were, like, you know, they just suddenly had these urges to, you know, be attracted to a different kind of person or, you know, go differently in life. And I think that there's, you know, the same kind of, I don't know, swing on either side.
Right. Well, and there's also people that, you know, who aren't maybe attracted to the same sex but might fall in love with someone of the same sex, and that might turn them, you know, to be, you know, at the gay end of the spectrum or, like, attracted to the same sex person.
This may be slightly off topic, but I don't think it is. One of the, I just forgot what I was going to say. Well, never mind. I'm sorry.
Well, I'd like to, talk about how, you know, homosexuality is addressed in our school systems today. I think it's a very important, issue, and I don't think it's really addressed at all. Just our sexuality in general.
And, you know, I think that, like, I don't know, like, you know, I think, being, like, having problems with someone having a different sexual preference compared to, like, you know, races and things like that are equally needed to be known about. Like, in school, if you're teaching kids about racism and, you know, like, just what, you know, like, how there shouldn't be racism and, you know, it's a bad thing, then they should be teaching the same thing about, you know, just awareness about gay people and, you know, like, what they believe instead of just trying to, you know, shutting it up until they get out there into the real world.
I agree with that. I think that homophobia is definitely, you know, on a parallel line to racism and intolerance to other religions. I think it's basically, you know, the same concept.
Yeah, and I think that, like, you know, a lot of the times they say, oh, we've been fighting, you know, racism for so many years and, you know, we're trying to get rid of it. But at the same time, when they're saying, you know, two gay people can't get married or something like that, then it's like, you know, on the same, you know, boundary lines. It's like you're almost like a hypocrite in that kind of...
Yeah, it's the same prejudice. Well, also, like, I noticed that, like take, for example, the school handbook we get every year. Like, when you go and look through it, you know, they have a section talking about, like, you can't like, say, racial stereotypes whatsoever, you know. And yet, every single day in class, you hear, you know, faggot, you're gay, this and that. And teachers don't even address it. You know, they'll hear it, and I don't even hear teachers say, hey, that's not really right to say. Some will, but it's, you know, teachers, I think the school system isn't properly prepared to address these issues. We haven't even remotely come close to addressing it. I think we need training. Teachers need to go through training. And just be able to have the privilege. I mean, the government, I think, blocks teachers and the school boards and everyone is being blocked to allow sexual knowledge to be presented and then, like, yes.
I've noticed that, too. And one of the things that I think a lot of students at Laytonville have observed is that we don't actually have a sex education program or class in our school. We do have the health fair, but that's only one day a year, you know, and it focuses on health issues as a general thing. Do any of you believe that one of the reasons why, you know, the school board or the authorities might not want to talk about sex education is because maybe discussing, you know, sexuality or homosexuality or just being active in that way in general promotes it?
Well, I think high school is, like, right when we're going into our sexuality. You know, we're just becoming really sexually aware. And whether or not the government or our parents are willing to admit it or not, it's happening. And so I think that that's, like, the first step is us being able to talk about, you know, sex and sexuality or your sexual preferences in class or just at least being able to get knowledge that way.
One of the things that sort of brings up in my mind is that people, you know, some people aren't quite as willing to address homosexuality because they are afraid that, you know, their children might, you know, decide to become homosexual. But is there really a difference between, you know, people being born heterosexual or people being born homosexual? I mean,
I think we just have to look at each other. I mean, we're people. We're not, yeah. I mean, we're no one else. It doesn't matter whether we're attracted to the same sex. I mean, we look the same. We breathe the same air. We sleep the same. Eat the same food. It doesn't really matter.
And, you know, I think a lot of the time it's really something for people to argue about. You know, they see that this person's different, so they're going to put a bias against them. They're going to put some kind of prejudice that's going to, you know, just give them some reason to not like that person, you know, make them different from whatever their standards are.
Well,
sorry, Patty. You know what you were talking about earlier about kids... parents being afraid to talk about homosexuality and sexuality with their kids because they're afraid it will promote it. Is that such a bad thing for kids to want to experiment in homosexuality as much as any other type of sexuality?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, absolutely not. The thing that I was trying to get to was just the sort of thinking that parents might believe, oh, you know, If we talk about being gay, my children might want to become gay. But the sort of issue with that is that, you know, we talk about being straight because that's, you know, the majority of people, you know, you just assume people are straight when you're talking to them. And it doesn't seem like talking about that has had an effect on, you know, turning people straight or making that to be their sexual orientation. So I just don't see how people could believe that it would work the other way around.
And it's also the same kind of thing where, like, you know, people get afraid of, like, you know, wanting to give, you know, students or the kids or whatever condoms because, you know, they feel like it's going to just influence their sexual activity and, like, you know, make them want to have more sex or whatever when, you know, they just feel like if you don't talk about it, then maybe they won't do it or something like that, or you just say no. But,
well, like, I mean, it really just shows, like, people's ignorance. Like, people, teens, we are going to go, whether it's behind our parents' back or with their permission, we're going to be exposed to same-sex likings or condoms or sex in general, and I think we have to be aware of it. Also, on a note of parents and teachers and whether or not they accept gay and lesbian youth in schools, there's a statistic here saying that 85% of teachers oppose integrating lesbian, gay, and bisexual themes into their curriculum. So it still is very, and that was reported by the Massachusetts Governor's Commission on Gay and Lesbian Youth. And so obviously there is still a lot of opposition against educating and accepting, you know, sexuality in the schools.
I find that to be very interesting because I actually have a statistic here that says 84% of Americans oppose discriminating when you're hiring someone on their basis of sexual orientation. And it kind of strikes me as odd that such a huge percentage of people would be against discriminating against people because of their sexual orientation, but then not feel that it should be discussed openly in other areas.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, once again, it's just showing ignorance to what's really going on in the world today.
Do you guys think that sexual orientation and just the way homosexuals are seen in society as different by other people compares to different types of religion? I mean, how different types of religion are discriminated against because of that fact. Do you think that has, you know, is sort of a parallel to discriminating against homosexuals?
Well, I think it is, but then also to another extent to almost everything that, you know, people have in common that's common that's different. Like, you know, this person may have some religious belief and they disagree with, you know, another person who has, you know, some other religious belief. And so, like, I think that homosexuality comes, it's just another thing for people to disagree about, and, you know, they find that, you know, that's not what they want to hear or think about, and so they all just start disagreeing on it.
Right. Well, it all just brings up that religion brings conflict. You know, like, whether it's two religions clashing or religion clashing against, you know, same-sex marriages or abortion or, you know, stem cell research. I mean, there's always been conflicts and wars over whose religion is right. I mean, look at, like, Israel and Lebanon or Palestine.
Exactly.
Right now. You know, it's you know, it's like the same roots. It's just happening because there's disagreements and no one can find the middle ground.
One of the main issues that comes to mind when I think of homophobia or homosexuality is that just like any other, you know, religion or race or beliefs, it just comes down to a matter of respect. You know, if you're not willing to respect another person's decision, then I think that, you know, you are in some way discriminating against them or being racist against them. And I think that a lot of people don't think of it that way because, you know, they have their own opinions and they're just not willing to accept other people's choices.
Does that apply also to political beliefs?
I think it does. I think it applies to everything. I mean, when, you know, any place, you're going to have you know, conflicting beliefs, and, you know, that is going to show in elections and things like that. Unfortunately, political and social beliefs sometimes some people don't think that they, you know, should be involved in the same type of situation. But that does seem to happen a lot because political beliefs are usually tied, you know, closely to people's social beliefs. Does that answer your question?
Right. It's like, yeah. Okay. It's right now, even though this is really an issue about what your religion and what you personally believe, it is a political belief. Look at how, you know, the last president really won the election. Everyone has said it was an election based on moral values, you know, abortion and, you know, gay marriage. That's basically what it was based on. You know, that's all religion is.
On sort of a different note, one of the things that I've noticed in our community, when the movie Brokeback Mountain came out, which was very controversial, a lot of people had, you know, strong opinions one way or another. One of the things that I noticed in our school was a large female population, who are mostly from, you know, rancher families and stuff, were really opposed to the idea of it. And it did sort of bring up, like we were talking about earlier, the conflict between men and women being homosexual, the differences. And I also thought it was interesting that most of the people, the students who were against it were female, which I thought brought up sort of an interesting point.
Yeah, and I noticed that too, and I noticed it with almost like the majority of people in the majority of females, no matter where they came from, were against it. And I think it, where do you think it ties back to?
I think it's like really with like how you're saying they came from like rancher families and stuff like that. Like, you know, I think when people are affiliated with different groups or ideas or, you know, whether it's a religious belief or no matter what, you know, if their idea follows, you know, if they didn't really feel like, you know, gay people were part of that or something like that, then, you know, seeing a movie that, you know, that has their same kind of like their same group, but, you know, it's kind of going against their own moral beliefs, it's really hard for them to, you know, really accept something like that.
One of a quote that I heard on a previous You Speaks Out show was, "Hate is not a family value." And I thought that that was interesting when applied to this topic and others, because not all, but some of the anti-gay people are Christian or believe are Catholic. Religions like that, which teach, you know, family values and, you know, being respectful to each other and being, you know, loving. And it just seems like a lot of religious organizations being so opposed to gay marriage as they are, that I think that sort of conflicts with their belief system is what I've noticed.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Okay. That, like,
and it, well, just to defend the other side, it isn't all, you know, religious
people who exactly have values. And I didn't want to say that.
Yeah. It's just that I noticed that the tendencies are the anti-gay movements do have a lot of religious people in them.
Yes, and we're not trying to put down, you know, any religious group. One of my really good friends is, you know, involved in the Christian Club and the Gay Straight Alliance at her school. So we're not saying that, you know, that's typical or, I mean, that it always happens.
Well, also, touching on something you said was that sort of the violence and the hate that it really is generated from this issue. Like, and I really think that we do see it a lot, like, whether it's through words rather than physical violence. But I think that there is a lot of people who don't know how to handle it, and so they show it in violence.
Oh, and I was going to say that, like, you know, I think a lot of the reason why it comes out in violence is because there's such a difference in society on opinions that it's, like, so strong that, you know, you don't want this side of the world hating you when, you know, you do something different. And so it's, like, you know, it just puts you in such an extreme situation.
Danielle, do you think that more discussions, more open discussions about homosexuality would be a good thing to, you know, to get more people accepting of others' beliefs? Or do you think that it's just unnecessarily, you know, bringing up the issue?
I don't think any talk about homosexuality, especially among high school students, is unnecessarily bringing up the issue. I think it would help. But I think if we do that, we also have to be fair and talk about other religions and other cultures and stuff like that, you know, instead of just other beliefs, because all that applies to our daily world, and it's all important.
Well, is homosexuality a religion?
No, but it... Mm. I don't know, maybe some people think it's a belief. I've heard people consider it that way.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that it's definitely, you know, in the group of what you believe, and... you know, whether or not you believe in organized religion, you can still consider yourself a Christian. And I think that it's sort of parallel to that.
Okay. Well, going back to the violence and how gay and lesbian students are affected at high school in general, there's just statistics here showing that 75% of people committing hate crimes are under the age of 30. And one in three are under the age of 18. So there's obviously a lot of anger in our schools. And then on the opposite note, 42% of homeless youth identify as gays and lesbians. So obviously, like, there's a lot of pressure and violence and uncomfortability
and
in these issues.
You know, I think if, like, what we were talking about earlier in the show is that, you know, if teachers did address, you know, homosexuality and, like, you know, it was open in school and it was, like, you know, it didn't seem like, you know, I don't think students would have so much pressures and, you know, they'd feel, you know, they wouldn't want to, like, less of these statistics would come up because, you know, they wouldn't feel, you know, as much in violation when they're...
Well, and, yeah, exactly. There's another statistic here that says that lesbian, gay, and bisexual youth are at a 4 times higher risk for suicide than their straight peers. So obviously there's a lot of pressure if you come out in high school and say, oh, I'm gay. And you're also, like, subject to a lot of abuse, you know, like, I mean, I see straight people walking down the halls at school, and just because, like, you know, someone decided to label them as gay, they, you know, they get called it and really do get receive a lot of abuse because of that.
Yeah, I forget the exact number, and I can't find the statistic right now, but a very large percent of students who are cutting class regularly on a regular basis do it because of some type of fear of being, you know, physically violated or, you know, abused in some way because of their sexual orientation or beliefs about the issue.
And it seems like, you know, if the schools opened up, you know, more about talking about homosexuality and different, you know, just things like that, then, you know, it really, I don't know, just do a lot more good for the education system.
Okay. So we're going to open up the phone lines now. The number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and their concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about gay youth, sex education, or any of the topics we have discussed tonight. The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We want to remind you to be respectful to the others. This doesn't mean you have to agree with them. Just be respectful. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air.
Well, hi there. I was just thinking about ignorance, and I thought of a question, which might be a slogan, which is, does ignorance make you safe?
Well, to a certain extent,
it's ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, I mean, it can, but the fact of the matter is that we do live in the real world, and sooner or later, no matter how sheltered or ignorant you are, you're going to be exposed to some form of hate or bigotry or something else that you're not familiar with. So, you know, even if you are ignorant for a while, I think that eventually that can't last for very long.
And it doesn't make other people safe. You know, like, if you're ignorant to what the real issues and problems are that are going on in the world, like, look at all these bills that are being passed in Congress. Like, and it's out of ignorance. People aren't voting on them and standing up for really what should be going on because they're in ignorance.
Exactly.
Right. So ignorance obviously doesn't make you safe.
No.
So it's a good thing to know what's going on, and it's a good thing to learn about alternatives. So I don't know. I think that's a good thing, because I think a lot of religious people believe it's better not to teach their kids anything about alternatives because they're afraid. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, that's all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, that's, you know, good food for thought, at least. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, I think your program is absolutely fabulous. I so enjoy listening to you young people speak. And I would like to encourage you to continue speaking and also to continue taking the leadership. It almost sounds in a way that I know how difficult it is to, children can be so cruel, the cruelest to each other, and name-calling, labeling. It's so much peer pressure going on in a very insecure world. However, I think it is up to you, young people, to take the initiative to see that you get what you need. Meaning, go and find a few competent, intelligent, compassionate adults. Someone maybe even with some education or teaching credentials, and start forming a group before or after school.
Mm-hmm.
It discusses these kinds of things. Go outreach to, for example, to other schools, and bring your 10th or your 11th or your 12th or your senior classes together for a picnic or a something, and begin to integrate and recognize the interdependence that you all share, and create a couple of very core groups to take the leadership from Northern California into the rest of the country and the world. This is part of a political strategy that has been going on for a long time. But our young people are the generation that has so mixed, it's, you feel there's not much for you in this world, and yet there's unlimited potential in each one of you. I encourage you to bond, create action, and do it yourself with wisdom, not just, you know, wisdom without action won't work. Good luck. Know that there's people out there who are really rooting you on, all of you.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you.
And on a, although what that caller said was correct, I also want to put out there that I want to stick up for the teachers in our high school. I think that it isn't their fault that these things aren't being taught and there's these issues going on, and it isn't the teacher's fault. I think that there's barriers beyond them that they can't fight against.
Yes, I agree. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. A number of years ago, I had a student who dropped out of Willits High School because she was tired of being beaten up every day in the girls' bathroom because her mother was gay. And I wondered if that kind of harassment of children of gay people still goes on, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, sorry, were you going to say something?
No, just before I continue, I'd like to remind everyone that the number is 456-9991.
Well, one of my parents was gay for a period of about 5 or 6 years. And, you know, I was about 6 at the time, and I didn't find anything odd or wrong with it, you know, the partners that they were with were really good parents to me, and, you know, I really liked them. The only time I noticed anything different about it was when I got older and I would tell people about it, and they would sort of, I never had any threats of violence or anything like that, but they would sort of look at me funny and say, well, you know, wasn't that weird for you? And I would, you know, reply with not at all. I think that in general, what I've noticed is that the violence around those type of things has decreased a little bit in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, just because of people being more aware.
I completely agree. So, at at this time, I would like to talk about the sort of the levels of homophobia that people have. When I was reading over this, I thought it was really interesting. There's four different levels. There's revulsion, pity, tolerance, and acceptance. And they go in, you know, from worst to least in, like, the damage that they do. But they're all forms of homophobia. You know, revulsion is, like, of course, the extreme form of homophobia. You know, it really, like, you know, puts people up against the edge and really discriminates against.
One of the things that I noticed was interesting about that, Patty, was that acceptance was on there as a form of homophobia. Since you're more read up on the subject than I am, could you explain why that is?
Well, yes. Acceptance is when, you know, you say, oh, you're not gay to me. You're just a person. Or what you do in your bed is your own business, and that's fine as long as you don't flaunt it. What this does is, although you show, like, you know, you act like you're accepting it and it doesn't bother you, but it really denies the social level and legal realities of what same-sex partners are going through, or marriages are going through.
At this time, just a reminder for everyone, the phone number is 456-9991, and we would love it if anyone would call in. Even if your opinions are different from ours, you are invited to, you know, broadcast them and let everyone know.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, it's really a terrific show. One thing that I wanted to point out, that this whole suppression and kind of persecution and reaction against homosexual sex or relations really polarizes the whole subject or reality of sexuality into either or, rather than admitting that there are a lot of people that maybe fall in the middle, you know, or mm-hmm. in the span of a lifetime want to experiment, you know, when you're younger and go back and forth between, you know, same-sex relationships or heterosexual relationships, and that the reality of sexuality is much more nuanced, and it's just an unfortunate byproduct of this whole social oppression that is polarized into, you know, either or.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to point that out, and that I really do think that the science is showing that most people, if not, you know, all, but at least most people do have a sexual orientation very early, and, you know, the suicide statistics do show it's not simply that young homosexual people are harassed, but that they have to suppress the reality of who they are.
Yeah.
And probably why Brokeback Mountain was so ill-received by perhaps girls in a more conservative society is that it brings up the specter that many of their fathers and uncles and brothers and lovers and husbands might be gay and in the closet.
Exactly.
Anyway, thanks for the show.
Thank you.
And that caller did bring up a really important fact that, you know, we are just now at the beginning of our sexual awareness, and experimentation is really what we are doing. You know, and we haven't really decided whether or not we agree with that we're attracted to the same sex or to both sexes or to neither. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hi.
Good.
It just seems in my opinion that whatever like stage we may be at, like in, you know, kind of like a mass acceptance of like homosexuality and such, it seems that like we've made a lot of progress. Like some years ago, it seems like it would have been like completely, it was just kind of wrong to be gay. Like no one really brought it up, wanted to accept it at all. I don't know. It just seems like we've made a lot of progress. It seems like we're moving pretty fast. What do you guys think about that?
Right. Yeah. Well, before we did the show, about 5-6 years ago, there was another Youth Speaks Out show that sort of talked about these same issues. And I was just comparing it that it's funny how we are a lot, even just by how we're talking and what we're willing to say about, you know, sexuality and, you know, homosexuals or heterosexuals is just beyond what, you know, people could say 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I agree, and I also think that I think it's a really good sign that Brokeback Mountain was received as well as it was. Actually, I think if we hadn't have come this far, it would have been received much worse. People, it wouldn't have been in theaters. People wouldn't watch it. They wouldn't let their kids watch it, you know, and this would be a majority. As of now, people are allowed to have their opinions.
Right. Or also, like, just on the main level of, like, look at all our celebrities. Like, all these men are coming out saying they're, you know, gay. You know, like Vin Diesel or,
yeah,
you know, all these main celebrities that no one would admit to before. Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Caller, can I ask you to turn down your radio?
Yeah, I'm going outside. Can you hear me now?
Yes,
yes. Thank
you. I'm curious if you feel that you need more programs in school for sex ed about gayness or just, you know, anything, and then how you would go about getting it if you feel that school is lacking, or if you feel satisfied with what you're getting, and then also how, you know, if you bring in sexuality into school, should you bring in the armed forces or different, you know, how you balance it all out. But anyway, basically, do you feel that you get enough, and if you don't, how could you go about and get more?
Just as a reminder, before we comment on this last caller, the number is 456-9991. One of the things that we were talking about before this show started, actually, was that Laytonville doesn't have a gay-straight alliance. And, you know, that is one issue that if there are willing students, you know, I think might be a good idea, as well as more, you know, actual sexual ed programs. But I think that would be harder to do because it has to go through the school board.
Yeah, and also I think one of the hard things is that, you know, Laytonville is such a small place that, you know, for something like a gay-straight alliance to happen, it's really hard with, you know, so little amount of kids going to school.
Yeah, exactly.
How many are actually gay or believe in whatever they do.
Well, we also don't have to, I don't think, have to make it responsible on the students to form a gay-straight alliance. Like, I have never received a sex education class in my life. Not that there hasn't been any, I just haven't been in the class to receive it. And so, like, I mean, like, obviously, there's a problem right there. And so, you know, like, if the school started actually just, you know, talking about having sex, like, instead of ignoring it, I mean, that's, like, a step towards, you know, becoming more aware.
Yes.
Well, thank you, caller.
Okay, all right, thank you. Well, you guys do a great job, and I guess petitioning your school or something like that, if you felt it was necessary, that would be a good thing.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. Congratulations on another great You Speak Out show.
Thank you.
I think a lot of parents really don't realize how little this discussion of sex or, you know, what passes for sex ed these days really is happening in the school. I mean, from my understanding is that most school curriculum, high school, let alone junior high in California, is abstinence-only based. So they're not really talking realistically about anybody having sex, heterosexual, homosexual, any of the, you know,
yeah,
whatever. And so I think that, you know, that's something that parents really need to get more informed and involved. And I think in terms of, like, coming from a really small area, one way to build alliances is not to say that, you know, your orientation isn't important and that those differences aren't important, but also looking for ways to bridge those issues to other issues such as just general civil rights issues, which I think are just huge in our society today, that civil rights of all kinds of different people are being violated in so many different ways, and to look for ways to build alliances with other people on that issue would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope your parents are all proud of what you're doing, and thanks so much for the show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Once again, I'd like to remind everyone that the number is 456-9991. And to comment on the last caller's question or statement, I would like to say that there is a sex education class somewhat happening at our high school. It is involved with the PE classes, like, there's, like, for a week or, like, for 2 weeks out of the year, you go through, like, all of health, basically. And, like, you know, for a day, you might talk about STDs or about abstinence or something like that. I just have never received it. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. A couple questions. Oh, I'm sorry. I have all kinds of things beeping here. If you earlier you talked about how homosexuality could be viewed as a belief system, but you also talked about how, you know, it's a biological thing. It's determined prior to birth or maybe shortly after birth. Somehow these two things don't seem to go together. If you could comment about that. And then also you said that acceptance was sort of the highest or the lowest form, however you want to look at it, of discrimination. If acceptance is not the desired behavior, what is it? What is the ideal state? I mean, I hope before I die to live in a world where the color of your skin and the sexual orientation has become so unimportant that nobody talks about it anymore, frankly. But we've got a long way to go until we get there. But if you could answer that, and also thirdly, if you could talk about what resources are available for young people in our area who find themselves in a situation of discrimination. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Well, to talk about the acceptance thing, I think when you have to accept something, it's obvious that there is, you know, a problem that you're accepting, you know, like you're finally agreeing to or something like that, just by like naturally understanding it or, you know, like not having it be a problem to that you need to accept is, I think, the ultimate place you want to be at.
Yeah, mm-hmm. where there's no real question about accepting it or not. It's, you know, there's only one answer, and that's, you know, people do whatever they want to do.
In answer to your first question, well, I think that, you know, it's kind of the same thing as, may I say, you know, Darwin's theory of evolution. It is a scientific belief, or it is a scientific theory, but people can choose either way to just accept it as scientific fact or put it into their personal belief system. I think that those are two separate classes, but you can combine both or...
I personally think that, I mean, like, look at the debate between evolution and, like, creation. You know, like, it's like putting science with religion. Like, I personally think that, you know, whether you choose to believe in creation and you believe that, you know, science and religion sort of intermingle, then it's a belief, you know. I mean, it's obviously, it's just what happens to you, whether it's scientific or, like, something that occurs just, you know, by God or whatever. It just happens.
Yeah, and it just seems to vary through each individual.
And maybe not to be abrupt or controversial or something, there are some people who believe that biologically, if you're born gay, then you're gay. And whether or not you accept to believe that as a part of yourself is sort of a different issue. But that's just one other thing that might answer your question.
And right now, for any youth that aren't in help, if they are having problems or just need someone to talk to, the youth project number is 707-456-0235 or 1-800-575-4357. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you. I would like to commend you for having the conversation. I think that's really very courageous of you. And I would like to say that the last point, I think, was very well taken by the individual who said that because one is born gay, one does not have to manifest that. And I think that, anyway, I think that's a really good point. And also, which is not to say that people should not manifest that, but that one has a choice. All along one's life, one has a choice. And sometimes these choices are extremely difficult to make, and one opts in a different direction. So also, I want to say that if one is opposed to same-sex marriage, that does not necessarily mean that one is opposed to same-sex relationships, because one can be opposed to the institution of marriage and not want this oppressive institution to be pursued or encouraged at all, if you follow me.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And the other thing I want to say was about stem cells. I think these might be, it might be hair splitting or finer points or whatever, but I think it's kind of important to be a little bit clear about things. One might be opposed to stem cell research willy-nilly being voted on because the ethical conversation has not been had, and there are all sorts of things going forward in the name of science which need to have a conversation regarding the ethics thereof, if you follow me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your comments.
I'd also like to address back on the being accepted. I don't think I made it completely clear. Like, when you want to be accepted, it's like whether you're gay or, you know, like a Native American or an African American doesn't need to be accepted in our society. They're just people in our society. I think that that goes the same way for people who have same-sex tendencies.
Once again, the number is 456-9991.
So talking about what that last caller said, like talking about the ethics of it. Currently in our school, like, we don't talk about the ethics of it. Or, not just on, you know, homosexuality or sexuality, but on, you know, abortion or anything that is really, being based on ethics and science or, you know, even evolution or creation. Do you think that that would better, improve the problems that are at hand if we did talk about ethics?
Well, I think that, you know, the two areas, if you want to get, you know, a good perspective of the subject, the two areas both really need to be included. And one of the reasons why a lot of schools, you know, don't talk about the ethics of, you know, evolution or of abortion is because it's a controversial issue.
Yeah.
And teachers, you know, could, you know, potentially lose their jobs and things like that. And that's sort of a hard area to overcome, but I don't think it means that the ethics of things like that shouldn't be talked about.
Yeah, and that's also because, like, I mean, going off your point is, like, you know, a lot of kids or a lot of people in general have their one-way opinion on a lot of things, and it's because, you know, they never really got around to seeing both sides of it. And, you know, I think starting in school, like, you know, you've been talking about the ethics of, you know, whatever you want. Like, I mean, it's just another side to the situation.
Well, and I think if we brought in the ethics, or, like, ethical conversations, I think it's also important to touch on every side of the
exactly.
circle. You know,
that's
not just take, you know, the Christian
no, that's
or
what I'm...
Catholic, but, you know, like, Hinduism or Buddhism.
Yeah. I think it's also important just to do that in general to make the kids and everybody more knowledgeable, because the more you know about the people and the culture, the more willing you are to accept, and since that is what we really actually want, to be accepted, to accept, then that's what we should do.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Mystery.
Hello.
Hello. The reason, perhaps, that schools do not wish to discuss this problem is it would be non-productive on the basis that you are their tools. The more children are students in the future, and to talk about homosexuality, usually are relationships where there are no children coming forth. So it would reduce the number of students in the future, and those are their jobs. Those are that's their profession.
Well, I can see your point. If you're sort of coming from a some kind of weird cult dictatorship sort of society, but I don't think that's really the case here, and I don't think that you know, the students are out to get the teachers, which it sort of sounds like you're saying that. I'm sorry if you're not. But I don't think that the teachers believe that.
And also, there's many, many gay or lesbian partners who adopt or have their own children.
Exactly.
Whether they go to a sperm bank or adopt. I mean,
I realize that, but if the teachers accept it, you wouldn't be discussing it right now. And the other thing is that the reason that it all began goes back, of course, to the Bible, where it describes two different things for male and female. Male carries the seed, and so it is more important in the Bible teachings for the male not to be a homosexual than the woman, because there's nothing to lose if a woman has sex with another woman as far as producing children. But if the male does, the possibility of having a child is gone. So, no, I don't come from any weird cult, and I didn't appreciate that very much either. If people call in, I think you should be a little kinder to them. You're asking them to call in, and you shouldn't be using those kind of words to thank them, because that isn't very thankful. So I'll let you go. Bye.
I apologize for that, caller. I wasn't trying to say that that anyone in particular was, you know, sort of involved in that belief system. What I was saying is that I just don't believe that that's the way our teacher-student relationship or the culture of our society works.
And once again, like I said earlier, the reason we're talking about this is that this is a issue in society. It isn't just our teachers who don't accept it. Most teachers do accept this, but aren't able to move forward because of other barriers that are not allowing them to. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I just think it's preposterous for anybody to pass a law about gay marriage, about abortion, about creationism, because there is a constitutional guarantee of the separation of church and state in this country.
Exactly.
And I think that that's the entire issue in a nutshell. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Caller, you're on the air? Oh, well.
That is the issue, is that we're just, like I said before, people are taking their religious values and their ethics in going to the voting polls. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm Nancy in Willits, and frankly, that other woman that called, you have no reason to apologize to her. She is entitled to her views, but you're entitled to yours, too. And I am surprised that education of all aspects of sexuality is not being taught in the public schools. I was not aware of that. And I think you are doing a fabulous job of your show. I love listening to it. And that as a mother of a growing gay child, I am as proud of her as I am all my other children. And I'm just so happy that she is happy. And that's what I wanted to tell you.
Thank you very much for your comments, Colin.
Okay, thank you for your show.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts tonight have been me, Janelle,
Patty,
Joe,
and Danielle.
Thank you to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett studio. Youth Speaks Out is in need of funding. If you, as an individual or organization, can help sponsor this project, please contact the director, Dan Roberts. Dan may be reached by phone at 459-1760, by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who have expressed them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of the month. That's August 27th at 6 p.m. Once again, the number for Youth Project is 456-0235 or 800-575-4357.